Morning. Nice to be here and see you all again. Today, we're going to start with a bit of a question. So it's, as people of God, as people have got a faith in God, how far will God let his people run from him? How far will God let you run from the call that he's put on your life? So it's quite a big question, quite a hard question. And I don't think any of us can come up with a definitive answer to that question. But what we're going to do today is to look at a bit of the Old Testament, which will maybe give us a bit of an insight into how we could potentially answer that. So we're going to go a little bit Sunday school this morning. We're going to go into the book of Jonah, if you want to open up to Jonah, if you've got your Bible there today. So Jonah will give us a bit of an insight into the principles that we can maybe apply to our own life and maybe even look into somebody else's life as well, that when somebody else rebels or drifts away from God, some of the principles that might happen, or if we rebel or drift away from God, some of the things that we can take on board as well. So how far will God let his prophet, you and me, believers in God, run from him and fall away? So just reading from Jonah in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. He went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So also we're in the book of Jonah, and it's about the prophet Jonah. We can get that straight away. But we're not going to look there, but 2 Kings 14, we see Jonah being mentioned, the first kind of mention of him. It says that Jonah was a servant to the son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. So Jonah was obviously a prophet, a messenger from God, and he was from his hometown was Gath-Hepher in Galilee. So he was north of Nazareth. He was a Jew, part of that kind of Jewish nation there. A Jew and a prophet to God. And interestingly, he's the only kind of Old Testament prophet that God gave him a message for a non-Jewish nation as well. So we see that God's not only interested with the apple of his eye, Israel, and the Jewish people there, but God's interested in all people. And we see that Jonah has got a message to give to these people in Nineveh, and he's not very happy about it. But what we say is that God cares for all people, not just one nation group or one type of people. God has got a love for all people. And straight away, God has given Jonah this specific work to do. And Jonah's got a specific calling on his life. He tells Jonah to do two things. First of all, go. You need to go and do something. Go to Nineveh and cry out against it. So he's got a message to go and give this people. Go to them and tell them a message from me. And if we consider our lives as believers in God, then what have we got to do? We've got to get out and tell people about God as well. Go, move, get into action. And we need to take that on board in our daily lives. Because God needs messengers. God is all-sufficient. God can do anything he wants. But he chooses to use us. He wants us to be his mouthpiece and his vessel to use. He doesn't need us, but God wants us. And that is the way that he's chosen to get his message out to other people. And it's not just for one people or one nation or one country, all people in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, "We are workers together with him." You are a worker together with God. If you're born again, get God as your Lord and Saviour, then you are a worker together with God. He has commissioned you for a task and a duty. He has put a calling on your life, the same as he had on Jonah. With that in mind, he's got a calling on your life. He wants you to think the way he thinks. He wants you to see the way he sees. He wants you to feel the same way that he feels as well. To care and pray and be moved into action for the things that God cares about. And when I was thinking of that kind of concept here, I quite like my Christian music, a whole range of different things. There's an artist, Brandon Heath. I don't know if you know him. He's got a song called "Give Me Your Eyes." And the lyrics are, "Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, for the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. And I think what God is trying to get through to Jonah through this full chapter is, have my heart, have my eyes, have my arms. You need to be moved with the compassion, the heart, and the sight of me, of your Lord and your God. When we are interacting in our daily lives, how do we see things? How do we view things round about us? How do we look at situations and disasters that are happening in other countries? Do we see it through the eyes of God with love and mercy and compassion? Or do we look at these people and hate them? And when we look at the account of Jonah, we really see that Jonah, he's a prophet of God, but he's not got the heart of God. He's bitter within himself, and he only wants to deal with the people round about him and his wee clan and his wee posse, and he's not interested in anyone else. And things haven't changed from Jonah's time to our time. We can be very insular, but God wants Jonah to open up his eyes and have mercy and compassion on other people, even if they're your enemy. And again, that's a hard message to take on board. So he's been called to go to Nineveh. And I perhaps wonder if we can identify with a call to go and do something that we're not too happy about. If God calls you and asks you to do something, how often do we drag our feet? Or do we go, yes, God, that's fine, we go away and do it straight away? A lot of the time, certainly in my own life, I drag my feet and argue with God. And we see what's going to happen with Jonah here when he's disobedient to the call of God. He does not want to deliver the message that God gives him here. It's against his desires, it's against his will, it's against what he wants to do. And God has to do a big work in his life to change his heart around. And unfortunately, we're not going to go through the full of Jonah today, but if you read it in your own time, chapter 1 through to chapter 4, you see that his heart gets changed a tiny little bit. But still at the end, he's still a bitter, cynical dude. You know, he's still this prophet that's grudgingly given a message to Nineveh, but he still didn't really want to do it. But what I'm going to say to you today is, see, even if you don't want to do something, if God's calling you to do it, do it. That is obedience to God, and it's a sacrifice you do need to make to him. So he has to give a message to Nineveh against his own will. Nineveh was not a city in Israel. He's a Jew. He only cares about his Jewish friends and his Jewish nation. Doesn't care about anything else. But he has been called to give a message to a pagan country, a pagan nation. He doesn't want to. He wants hellfire and brimstone to rain down on Nineveh because they are the enemy of Israel. They're nasty, brutal, despicable people. They're evil, but they're also not Jewish. So he doesn't even care about it. Even if they're nice, lovely people, he's not interested because they're not Israelites. But on the other fact, they are evil people. They're a brutal, evil nation. But God has got what for them? A message. And Jonah has to give the message to this nation that he's not interested in. The message was not popular to Jonah. He didn't want to give it. If he had to give the message to them, it wouldn't be popular with his friends, with his nation either, because they were an enemy of Israel, and he had to give a message of repentance to them to stop judgment of God falling upon the Ninevites. And if Jonah did that, his nation and the people round about him saying, why did you do that? God was going to punish them, and you stopped God punishing them. You shouldn't have given them that message. So he would become an enemy of his own surrounding people as well. But what we see is God can give us a message to give that will perhaps make us unpopular with some people round about us. Who are we pleasing in this earth, though? God has commissioned you to be a worker, a co-worker with him. You have to please God above all other things. And if you do that, then God will honour you and bless you through that. But more than that, we see through Jonah this big picture of God's mercy and God's grace for all people. Even if the people are despicable, brutal, evil, ugly, nasty, horrible people. Look across the world today, the many, many kind of atrocities that we see today. Does God hate these people? No. God loves them, and God wants them to come to repentance as well. And we can understand Jonah's reluctance to give this message. If we just have a wee look at Nineveh, it was one of the kind of major capitals of the Assyrian Empire back in the day, one of the kind of largest cities there, big, massive, magnificent place. But the people within it were really, really evil, evil people. They had mastered the art of brutality and torture. They would cut people's eyelids off, tie them up in point them into the direct sun to die a kind of horrific death. They cut noses off and ears off and put them as badges in their lapels. You know, they, maybe your kids collect cards and football things. You know, they collected noses and eyes and put them in their clothes. Totem poles of people's heads. They were nasty, nasty, evil, evil people. Would you go and give a message to them? I can understand Jonah saying, nah, no thanks. I would turn my back as well. So sometimes I look at these swords and think, oh, Jonah, tut, 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 that's really bad that you didn't do what God asked you to do. But when we step into his shoes, we probably wouldn't do it either. But if we consider today in our world, what we see on the news, all these kind of brutal things that are going on round about us, radical Muslim extremists, Al-Qaeda, go to North Korea, all the things that are happening over there under the kind of whole communist situations. Do we wish that God would judge these people and kill them and wipe them out? Is that how our prayers go? Wipe these people out. They're so brutal. They're so evil. We hate these people. Get them out. Or do we pray, God, have mercy, show your compassion, save them, bring them into your kingdom, save them? What way about do we go? And I know I've had quite a few conversations with people in my own kind of fellowship and things, and you shouldn't be speaking that way. You're speaking hateful. God is not a hateful God. God, first of all, wants mercy and grace. Then, if people refuse that, he'll bring judgment. God's judgment will come, but people need to be offered the mercy and the grace. And we should be praying for all these situations, for God's heart, for his eyes, so as we can see and we can act and pray in accordance with him. And wickedness pops up everywhere, but how are we dealing with it? Are we going to be the Jonah? We just want God to wipe them out, hellfire and brimstone, or do we have a heart of compassion the same as he has? If we want to be missional, to have be an outreaching church, to look at our nations and our towns and our villages round about us and to reach out with the love of God, we need to love people. You're talking about having this kind of outreach fund day. There's many people probably in this village that you probably don't like, that rub you up the wrong way, that you can see them, I hope they don't come. You've got that thought in your mind. Even sometimes more in church, I'm thinking, oh, going to church there, I hope they're not there. But at the end of the day, we can fail to outreach with God's arms, God's eyes and God's heart because we dislike people. It doesn't matter if we dislike people or not. God loves all people and we need to show them God's love, whether we like it or not. So Jonah had probably many good reasons for running away from the call of God on his life. What are our reasons for running away from the call that God has given us? We have to go out and we've got to give the message of God as well. What excuses do we come up with? We've got the Great Commission in Matthew 28. You know, go out into the world, preach the word, make disciples. I've got a wee quote here from Hudson Taylor, one of the great missionaries. He put it this way. He says, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." We give the message that God has given us to all people, whether we like them or whether we don't. It's a command to share the good news with them. And I'm sure we've got even less reason for withholding that message than Jonah did in the book here. So how do we fare? Matthew 9:37-30 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest.'" That is the commission that we are given. That's the message that we need to go out with, a message of salvation, to go out into the harvest fields to tell people about God. Because if we don't, we're not a labourer for God. We're not a co-worker with him. We're sitting on our backsides in the corner of the field and doing nothing. That is not pleasing to God at all. Through the circumstances in the book of Jonah, Jonah was brought to repentance, and his attitude, grudgingly, he made that difference in his life. He brought Jonah to the point of repentance. What about us? I wonder if there's something or somebody in our lives that we need to repent about. Somebody that we grudgingly hold that, oh, I can't stick you in. It's that kind of constant knot in our stomach whenever we see them, or I can't go to that event because they might be there, and you've got that twist in your stomach. Or maybe it's a particular type of people that, oh, I don't want to be about them, they're not good enough, or can't be bothered hanging out with them and spending time with them. We can be like a Jonah in many, many instances. we need to ask God, who or where is our Nineveh? What people cause us an issue with sharing the good news? What people do we not love and have compassion for? And try and do something about that. Try and pray for those people specifically. When we obey God, God will work in our hearts and he will bring our hearts into the rhythm of his heart. When we obey him in the first place, he'll bring our thoughts and our feelings into line with his heart when we make that first step and reach out with his heart and his compassion. More than that, what we see in the book of Jonah here as well is that God is persistent with the people that he chooses. Jonah runs away from the call of God. God doesn't leave him. God never forsakes him. God is always with Jonah, even though Jonah's trying to run away from him. Whether we run away from God or whether we don't, God is still going to be by our side because he's our Lord and he's our Saviour and he will never leave nor forsake us. But what we see from Jonah is sometimes God might need to send a big storm into your life or even a big fish to come and swallow you up in circumstances. He'll swallow you up in circumstances so that you have to turn to him. Your eyes get nowhere to look other than to look to God. God's will and God's desires are for you to walk according to his ways. And he will orchestrate things round about in your life, in your daily life, to make that happen. If we're in disobedience, God will do something in your life to bring you back to obedience. What we see in the book of Jonah in chapter 1 here, this was Nineveh's last chance to repent. It was an important job that Jonah was given. And God wasn't going to give Jonah the opportunity to turn his back on it. He wanted Jonah to change his heart to the people of Nineveh. It says in verse 2, "For their wickedness has come up before me." Their wickedness, the wickedness of Nineveh was in the awareness of God. And why did God want Jonah to go? Because God saw their wickedness. God saw how brutal they were. And he wanted them to change. He didn't want them to stay in that sinful position that they were in. And we see that nobody's wickedness, mine, yours, the people of Nineveh, nobody can hide the true state of their heart before God. God sees all things, but God will always give a chance to repent, first of all, before he judges. Repentance comes before judgment. And that's a lesson that we need to learn as well. Give people the chance, give them the measure of grace and mercy, and give them the chance to repent before writing anyone off. God does judge, but he also wants people to change in the first place. He doesn't want to judge people, but if he's left with no other option, then that is what he will do. And Jonah knows that. Go to the end of the book and Jonah says, "I didn't want to give your message because I knew that you're kind and you're merciful and you're graceful and the people would turn and repent." We're told that in, I think, chapter 4. That is the reason that Jonah doesn't want to speak, because he doesn't want these people to turn to God. And we sit there, how bad, Jonah? Why would you not want somebody to be born again and saved? But there's many people that we don't speak to because don't want them coming to your church. I don't want them. That'll cause me issue. And we might sit here and think, no, that's not me. But I'm sure there's maybe somebody in your life you've thought, oh, I'm not sharing with them. That's somebody else's job. I'll leave that to somebody else, where we might have been called to actually go and share the message with them. So we've got here Jonah called to go, preach the word to Nineveh, and he turns on his heels and flees in the opposite direction. But what we see is that Jonah is rebelling, but it's not the end of the story. God does not allow Jonah to wallow in his rebellion towards him. If he did, then Nineveh are going to get ignored. They're not going to get the chance of salvation. That is the kind of main thing that's happening here. So God had a plan for Jonah, and God wasn't giving up on that plan. And God has a plan for each one of us as well. And God's not going to give up in the plan that he's got for us individually either. He will not leave us or forsake us, but circumstances in your life might be brought by God to get you back onto the track and back onto plan once again. At the end of the day, Jonah's going to go through some quite difficult circumstances. When you read the full account of Jonah, hard times that he goes through, but it's all for his good. It's all to bring him back closer to God and back onto the plan that God has for him. So at verse 8 says, "Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with him to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah is taken to his heels in disobedience to God. Why did they choose Tarshish as his destination? Because in those times it was thought to be the city at the end of the earth, the furthest away place, the end of the earth. So God, I don't want to do what you're doing, so I'm going to the end of the earth to get away from the calling that you've put on my life. Forget it, God. You want me to go this way, I'm going that way. And I've done that many times in my life as well. You want me to do that, God? Aye. Hope you think so. I'm not doing that. Forget it. And you just ignore it. But what we see is that God's got a call for Jonah, and Jonah's going to do it because God's got to make sure that Jonah's going to do it here. So Nineveh was on the east of Israel, and Tarshish was as far as you could go to the west. So he was called to go this direction, but instead he went that direction, and about five or six times the distance to get away from what God wanted him to do. We cannot outrun God. No matter what distance physically we put between ourselves and whatever God's asking us to do, we cannot hide from God at all. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take to the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. No matter how far Jonah ran from the call of God, God's hand was leading them and leading all the circumstances surrounding Jonah, and his right hand was holding Jonah all the way through his disobedience. Maybe just Jonah didn't realize it when he was in the thick of the circumstances that God brought. So in his attempt to run, Jonah found a ship going in the opposite direction from where God wanted him. And it seemed easy enough. God, you want me to go there? I'm not going there. But hey, look, there's a ship here. Cool, I can jump on that and sail away in the other direction. I've got the money for the fare, easy enough. Paid the fare, jumped on the ship. Bob's your uncle. Things are going fine. I'm not doing what you want me to do, God, but I've got another option here. And Jonah, I think, maybe was sitting on the ship thinking, well, God, you wanted me to do this thing, but I've got another plan here, and it's working out okay, and you're probably happy with me, God, because there was a ship there. I've got the money for the fare. All the circumstances are saying that this will be okay. And I think what we need to realise sometimes in our life is circumstances, when they fall into place, when we can do things, doesn't always mean that God is blessing the choices that we're making. Quite often, there's open doors, and we think, oh, God, you've opened that door, and we step through all these open doors, but it's in the wrong direction. Because sometimes our enemy can open doors as well. We're not seeking God, we're not praying to God, we're not asking God for his direction, and we leave ourselves open to listen to other voices and other direction in our lives. Our enemy can seem to provide the escape plan from God, from God's call in our lives, that Satan could have put that boat there, Satan could have made sure that there was a place in the boat. All these opportunities, all these circumstances that were there were not ordained and approved by God. That is what we need to look out for. If we're not seeking God's will, God's call, God's choices, then we're going to go in the wrong direction and get ourselves into trouble. So although Jonah got on the boat, God fortunately did not allow him to get too far. He only got so far, and then God intervened. And that's the prayer we have to have for ourselves. Lord, if I go in disobedience, only get me so far and bring me back. If we get other people within our fellowship, our families, or other people that we know that start to backslide, our prayer should be, Lord, only let them go so far and pull them back. And that's the principle that we're seeing through Jonah here, that God's hands are never off his people at all, no matter where we are or what we're up to. God had a plan for Jonah, and God was continuing to input into that plan there. And in the first intervention we see in verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was about to be broken up. Quite often we think about the story of Jesus calming the waters, but here we see he can also stir up a storm. He can make stormy waters in a life as well. And the sailors, Jonah's got onto this ship, seasoned sailors, people that done this journey all the time, could they? Captain Jack Sparrows, if you want to put it that way. They knew the seas, they could understand it and could sense the waters and the winds and the weather and things like that. But they knew what it was to sail. But the ships and the sailors, they were in a dangerous place. Destruction was on the brink in this circumstance here, and it was all down to Jonah being in rebellion to God. Through Jonah's rebellion, disaster was about to strike. And verse 5 tells us, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So while disaster is taking place in the sea on the top deck of the ship, where is Jonah? He's down in the bottom of the ship, snoring away. Everyone's having disaster up top, and he's out for the count, down in the lowest parts of the deck. And what we see here, one, think about the people on the top deck. They're facing disaster. They're facing potential death. What do? They start crying out to God, throwing their cargo off the ship. When people today, non-religious people with no faith, when they go through hard times, they start crying out to God, but they don't know who God is because nobody's told them and not shared who the one and true God is. So they cry out to a God they don't understand or a God they don't know. And then they start to chuck their cargo off the ship. Everything they've built up over life, money, goods, all the kind of material things of life get chucked out because when we're faced with our eternity, when we're faced with death, the worldly things don't matter. And that's what we see here with the sailors. Nothing matters, not their cargo, the things that have collected, their treasure, their barrels of rum, it all gets chucked off because they're only caring about their life. And the one person that's got the connection with the one true God is where? Sleeping. Down in the bottom of the ship. The one person that could help. I ask the question, can that be like us? When people are going through hard times, there's stormy seas in people's lives, are we sharing with them the one true God? Or are we, oh, it's okay, I'm fine, I'm sleeping, leave me alone, I'm not interested. Are we disengaged? Jonah is the only person that can point them to the maker of the storms, the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea, the one that can calm the storm, but Jonah's not there sharing the message. The storms that we have in our lives, we need to consider. Storms that we have might be there to correct us, teach us, train us, and to point us in the right direction once again. Hebrews 12:11 says, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it will produce the peace of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So if God corrects you, it's there to train us in righteousness. That's what the storm was doing here with Jonah, to train him, to put him back on the correct path. And in verse 6, the captain of the ship comes and says, and what do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call upon your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. All the people in the top deck were crying out to their gods. They were sailors. They travelled around all the distant lands, had many gods. They had a god of the sea, a god of the land, a god of the air, a god of this, that, and the next thing. They were crying out to their gods to calm the sea. Did it work? No. So they go and seek Jonah and tell him to cry on his God. He's maybe got a different God that's in amongst all this kind of mix of gods. And he says, call upon your God. Who is Jonah hiding from? He's hiding from his God, the one true God. He is hiding from his God at this time. And that's quite ironic that people come to him and say, call upon your God, Jonah. His reason that he was on the ship because he was trying to flee from God and hide from him. But here somebody comes and questions him. Have you ever had that happen in your life where you've been going through your daily chores and somebody comes to you and asks you about God, about your faith, about what's happening in the world today, and you're forced to tell them about God? Jonah is a prophet. His job is to tell people, but he doesn't want to. So God brings the people to him. God's hand is on us all the time. If he wants us to deliver a message, he's got to orchestrate circumstances so as that is going to take place. Ever had the jibe, I thought you were a Christian? Does Jonah look like a Christian at this moment in time, a prophet of God? Difficult circumstances, and he's hiding down in the belly of the ship here. We should make sure that we are the people that go and that speak and give the message of God. So God's hand is with us all. through all things, difficult storms, difficult circumstances. They're there to correct us and they're there to train us, to put us on the path that God has for our life. If we need to tell people that we're a believer, that should be that warning sign in our lives to say, are you commissioned? Are you a co-worker with me? Are you doing the task that I've asked you to do? And that should be that kind of warning beacon in our lives. When we look at the account of Jonah, we see verse 3, he went down to Joppa. Verse 4, he went down into the hold of the ship. Verse 5, he went down into the sea. Verse 17, he went down into the belly of a big fish. When we're in disobedience to God, where do we go? We go down. Where did Jonah find himself? He found himself at one point in the inside of a fish, a cold, dark, stinking, horrible place. It's a picture of sin. When we disobey God, our lives are going to go down, 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 till we find ourselves in this horrible place that we don't want to be. But sometimes God brings us to rock bottom so that we recognise that he is the rock at the bottom. We've got nowhere else to look but up towards God. If God needs to put you in a stormy sea, if he needs to put you in the inside of a fish, he'll do it. But it's for your benefit. So as you look to him and so as you are delivered back out again, looking to God, having your faith in him. The pattern of sin is, if we continue to rebel and go in sin, we're going to get pulled down in the world. That is not where God wants us to be. But God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. He will do a work in your life to put yourself back in his path and into his calling. Difficult circumstances can be for the greater good. He will allow us to drift to a certain degree, but he will not leave us and he will not forsake us. We can run, but we cannot hide. God always knows where we are and what we're doing. And even if we're running from God, he's still providing for us in all circumstances and all situations. Read the book of Jonah in your own time and find out how many times it says God has provided. God has provided a storm. God provided a fish. God provided a plant. God provided shade. Even though Jonah was rebelling with God all the time, not doing things according to the word of God, God still provided for him. God loves you all individually. And even if you're disobeying God, God will provide for you because he's wanting you to turn and face him and go down and walk in the path that he has provided for you. God has got a call on every life and every believer. Stick with God, abide with God, that is the best way to do it. And I'm a wee bit disappointed this morning that Graham Scott, you didn't wear skinny jeans. I do a wee bit of a quote here, cling to God like skinny jeans and a worship leader. So I couldn't, it's a lie, so you've disappointed me. So if you're in a storm just now, think about it. Pray to God and ask him to bring you out of the storm. But also think about the fact, are you in a storm because somebody's brought a storm into your life that's caused by their sin and their rebellion? Sorry, I know I'm going to be a bit over time here. Think about it. The sailors, what they had to do eventually was chuck Jonah overboard. The sea was storming round about. They found out by casting the lots that it was down to Jonah. And Jonah says, yeah, I'm a prophet of God. I'm running away. It's me. Hands up, I'm guilty. But they had to chuck Jonah out of the boat. So as the storm calmed and the boat was safe. In our individual lives, in your corporate life as a church, sometimes people bring storms to you. First of all, you act with grace and mercy and compassion on the person. But then, if they don't repent, if they don't turn around, there can be that time where they need to get chucked out of the boat. And it's not chucked out of the boat, I don't care about you, but you're chucking them out of the boat to calm the storm. And you're throwing them on God's mercy and God's provision. As Jonah got chucked into the sea, it wasn't the sailors who were going, Jonah, you've caused this, we hate you, get in there, die. They were saying, oh, we're fearfully doing this, but it was the final option. They chucked him into the sea thinking, no, God will deal with them. We need to do the same. Some people will bring a storm into your life that you shouldn't have to deal with. The time might come that some people need to get chucked out of the boat and let God deal with them and set them right and deal with them individually. And you can then get on to normal plain sailing again. So to wrap up, Storms might come into your life. Don't see them as negatives, see them as positives. Look to where God wants you. What is God speaking into your life? What message does he want you to give? Look at all people with a heart of compassion. Eyes that God has, a heart that God has, hands and feet that God has as well. Move in action and love with other people. And where is God calling you? Where is your Nineveh? Where does he want you to go? And I think we all need to ask him that.